Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. You know, I've written on this following lesson many years before, but the Lord put it on my heart to readdress it. So let's get started. It's all about how we approach the Lord in our time of need. You know, there's a story recorded in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. Jesus had just left the area where he had cast out a legion of demons from one or possibly two plagued men. In response, the residents of that area had insisted that Jesus depart. But here on the other side of the sea, crowds welcomed him. As he and his disciples negotiated their way through this crowd, a ruler of the local synagogue, that is, an important man, came to Jesus and, it says, he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. That's in Luke chapter 8. Of course, Jesus responded and followed the man, but the crowds thronged him. In the midst of this scene, Luke chapter 8 tells us, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, interesting, 12 years as well, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Now, both of these folks had great faith in Jesus for healing, but their needs were very different, and their approaches were as well. The man was a ruler of the synagogue. Well, almost by definition, he was a leader in the community and probably wealthy. He approached Jesus head on. People may have even just gotten out of his way. And he fell at Jesus' feet and begged for help. The woman, she was penniless, and her condition made her unclean and a person to stay away from. No man would touch her, and if she ever had a husband, he was almost certainly long gone. She was desperate, broken, isolated, or forsaken, and without any means. She approached Jesus from behind, hiding in the throng. When she got close enough, she bent or stooped or fell to the ground to touch the hem of Christ's garment. Now, the number 12 used for both of these precious people, both of their agonies, the Bible is using that to tell us to look at them both together. Immediately, her flow of blood stopped, and so did Jesus. Spiritually, she had touched the Creator. It had shocked her, surprised Jesus, and it gave her new life. But as desperate as her situation was, surely the ruler of the synagogue felt the same, or even more so. Those of you who have lost a child can relate. There's no greater pain, no greater catastrophe to a parent. One of the gospel accounts tells us that when they finally did get to the ruler's home, the people gathered there basically said, "It's too late." And some even ridiculed Jesus. What an enormous, crushing challenge this must have been to the faith of the man. Jesus knew this, and he said, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." In a few moments, Jesus literally raised her from the dead, showing plainly that the man did indeed have faith, and Jesus gave his little girl new life. Irrespective of your life's circumstances, rich or poor, leader or loser, exalted or expelled, if you come to Christ, he will respond to you. You may actually touch him from behind or worship him before his face, and he will respond. But importantly, we must notice that both these dear people had faith or trust in the Lord. There was no show, no pretense, no act. You may think that this disqualifies you, but hear me on this. Faith is not something you work up. It is a gift from God. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." Now, study this verse carefully. It says, salvation is indeed a gift, but it is the indirect gift from God. The direct gift is faith. Faith for a new life. Faith in the finished work of Christ. It is the same gift, the same faith God gave to both the man and the woman in this story. Faith for new life. New life in, through, and from our amazing Lord Jesus. So if you lack faith, or think you do, ask God. Peter knew this principle as he healed a lame man, and it led to his declaration there at the temple after Christ's resurrection. He said, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness and presence in the presence of you all." That's Acts 3:16. I suspect that few, if any of us, are giants of faith, but even small faith is meaningful. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27, part of that says, "And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." And 2 Corinthians 13:4 says, "For though he was crucified, Jesus, in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you." So friends, just come to Jesus. He won't turn you away.
Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of his grace today.